Today's show is brought to you by...
Hey, Billy Bonham here, owner of Pizza Classics, located in downtown Kyle. We've been serving our community since the 90s and proudly support local Hayes athletics. At Pizza Classics, we do things the old school hard way because I think it makes a better product for our customers. Dough is made fresh daily and veggies are always hand cut. We shed our 100% whole milk mozzarella in-house, as well as make our own sauce from scratch. Lastly, we bake on stone. Doing it the right way takes some extra time, but we let our product do the talking. Thanks for your business. I truly appreciate it.
Entertaining shows with content that spreads information and sparks discourse throughout the community. This is the Pearl Media Network.
Welcome to the Kyle Life Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to showcasing what makes Kyle, Texas unique. We interview local business owners, politicians, and talk with everyday residents to further promote our beautiful city. This podcast is brought to you by KyleLife.com and is proudly part of the Pearl Media Network. We thank you for tuning in today. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey guys, Joshua here with Kyle Life, and today we're recording from the Pearl Media Network Studios located in West Kyle. Joining me today for this episode is Travis Mitchell, one of the co-owners of Mitchell Motorsports, a family-owned and operated trike, motorcycle, ATV, and outdoor power dealer. Travis, thanks for coming on the show.
Not a problem.
We ended up small talking for a long time. I apologize for that, but I thank you for your ear. Listeners will know I typically thank people for small talking because that's all I do. But I do appreciate your time. Terribly fascinating person, especially with your Archive project. We'll get to that later, but let's start this off by having you tell the listeners more about yourself, your background, and the history of Mitchell Motorsports in Kyle.
Yeah, well, like you said, my name is Travis Mitchell, and I graduated from Texas A&M University in 2007. I got a business degree there, a minor in business, and a major in human resources. From there, I went to work as a banker for Chase Bank in Austin and got married. And shortly after that, I decided to go work in my family business, which was not located in Kyle, but I went to work in Gatesville, Texas, where my parents had a trike dealership.
Okay.
Which I'm sure most people don't know what a trike is, but I could explain that. But anyway, I went to work there, which was about an hour and a half commute one way, to learn the business and to open up my own store down here in Austin. And that store got opened in 2008.
And in Austin proper, or you're talking about right now your location in Kyle?
No, Austin, in Austin proper, southwest Austin, a little subdivision called Oak Hill. We signed a 5-year lease and moved into a little bitty facility right at what they call the Y, which is where Highway 290 and 71 sort of split. And I mean, it's only by God's grace that we were able to survive that, because it was quite an ordeal, and the location ended up not being what I thought it would be. But we just worked extremely hard to satisfy every customer that we could, and were able to make it to the point where we had enough traction to open up our own full-fledged dealership, you know, and actually own the real estate as well.
And what year was that you brought the business to Kyle?
2008.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said it was in Austin in 2008.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we brought the business to Kyle in 2013, at the end of 2013. That was at the 5-year mark. And we actually operated in the back of the property that we currently have for about a year while we waited for the dealership that you see now to be built.
Right, and it is a big dealership, it seems like. I drive by it frequently because you're right there off of 35. I don't know the exact exit. What is the
location? 213.
Exit 213. It seems, is it a lot nicer? Like, are y'all much happier being there as opposed to the Y?
Absolutely. The Y was like being just pitching into a cave. I mean, it was a terrible experience because we were on a cliffside, so we had nowhere to grow, and the facility was extremely small. I mean, it was 1,200 or 1,300 square feet in total, interior conditioned space, and the outside space was terrible. And then if anybody's familiar with Southwest Austin and the Y, the first thought they will have is traffic.
Traffic,
it
of course.
It is terrible, and traffic in all the wrong ways. You know, you can have a lot of cars going by, but if those cars are gridlocked, they aren't happy when they come by.
Right.
And for 5 years, we had to deal with disseminating anger as soon as somebody would show up because they would be frustrated just trying to turn
from
into
their
our
traveling
place.
Just to
yes,
get there.
Just to get here. It was very
so
very
I'm
going to
go on a limb and say you probably have perfected customer service relations, right? Like if that was your experience for 5 years, I bet customer service now is cake, right?
There is no such thing as cake customer service. So no, it's not easy.
Well, and we'll talk about what y'all sell and whatnot, but I want to get into this. You're talking about how your old location, you were kind of limited. Was that in terms of growth, like for staff too? Like, are y'all night and day different? I know your facility is a lot larger, but also were you able to bring in more staff to help out? Like, is everything just different for the better now that you're here in Kyle?
Everything is different, and I would say everything is different for the better. That's for sure. Yes, there's hardly any similarity between our old store and our new one. Our old store, we had one master trike technician. He was the man that built all of the trikes for us, and then there was myself who was doing all of the sales and you know all the coordination with every customer. If a customer came to our store, they dealt with me for 5 years,
man.
And I had an office manager. And she would help me with my books and things like that and answering the phones. And that was pretty much it. Off and on, we would have another person helping out. But now we're up to 10 employees. You know, we have four technicians full time. We have a service manager. We have a sales manager. We still have an office manager and an additional sales associate. And so when you put that team together, what you have is a whole lot more opportunity and ability to service customers well.
Oh, it's a win-win, right?
It's a win-win. It also means that I don't have to deal with customers as much. You know?
Yeah, not that he doesn't like you all listening.
Yeah. Well, 5 years of talking to customers every single day, all day, plus doing all the business side long enough for me.
It is amazing to me that you haven't aged like a president. like that kind of stress on your body, man.
It was a tough time.
I can imagine. How many hours would you say on average you were putting in a week? Or were you, I mean, is that even not a good question because you probably never went home?
Well, no, it's not something you measure in hours put in as much as it is in time spent thinking and stressing.
Oh, right.
So
right.
Just because you're home doesn't mean you're home. And just because you're not actively working on a project doesn't mean you're not stressing. So I kind of have a hereditary trait where I get anxious and stress over various aspects of our business. And I've got to learn how to do a better job of that, to be honest.
But now your new location, like you're saying with all that staff or whatnot, man, mm-hmm. What alleviation, right? What relief.
You would think, but with you know... Yeah, now my job is not so much to manage customers as it is to manage employees.
Yeah.
And so with each additional employee becomes a whole nother person with a whole nother life. And that just, you know, people have to work together in close quarters. It becomes challenging.
A whole different experience. Well, you're a father though, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're management kind of, you've got that, right?
Got it. On lock. Yeah no go. Problem.
Yeah, I'll say that too about my fathering skills.
Yeah.
But let's move on and get on. Mitchell Motorsports, very blanket kind of name that people may not know what y'all do. You did mention trikes. I've seen like the ATVs out there. I've been on your website, saw all the motorcycles. My wife doesn't like it when I go on your website anymore. Can you talk about what is Mitchell Motorsports?
Yeah, so that it's a good thing you say trikes because Mitchell Motorsports being a blanket name, we actually started we were founded in 2004 by David and Katie Mitchell and Pat Mitchell. They're my parents and my uncle, so okay. They're all family. And the company was named Mitchell's Trikes and Bikes, and that's heavy on the trikes because
right.
They didn't even sell motorcycles, two-wheelers. It was only trikes, which we call three-wheelers,
mm-hmm.
And this is as good a place as any to let your listening audience know that they're not tricycles.
Do you get that, really?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
No
they're
way.
Trikes. Do not say tricycles. You will get a funny look from me.
And I'll interject, too. They're big. I take my kids to school. Granted, they're at the school here in the neighborhood, and some days of the week, we'll go hang out at my parents' place, and I see a lot of trikes on the road now. Are they picking up in popularity?
Yes, trikes have been steadily growing in popularity for 20 years. My parents, so t- what a trike is when you take a motorcycle, specifically a large motorcycle, like a touring bike, one that you would take across the country, mm-hmm. and you take the rear end off of it, the swing arm and the tires and the fender and all the back end comes off, and you put a trike body that's two wheels, a full new frame and a drive axle, and it's going to have a trunk and all sorts of, you know, little gadgets and features. And, you know, it looks like a car rear end almost on a motorcycle.
Is the thought process behind it like stability or what? Like, where did 20 years, you said 20 years. So let's go back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
What was that thought process of the first guy to go, you know, this bike would do good with an extra wheel? Like, where did
stability is absolutely at the forefront of that.
Awesome.
The 20 years ago, there would have been a man who was riding down the road and he dropped his motorcycle and decided he was too old, or for whatever reason,
he was too uncomfortable anymore.
On a motorcycle, or perhaps he had somebody riding with him on the back seat that was threatening to never ride again. You know, all those kind of things could have happened, and that person decided, you know what, I'm going to try to develop some kind of nifty little feature here that would allow me to continue to ride past my prime in a way that I still feel comfortable doing it. And that's how trikes were born. And they have evolved and evolved and evolved through the years into the kind of trikes that you see today. And those original trikes, you know, gave way to, now Harley Davidson does their own trike, which they call a tri-glide. Can-Am makes what's called a Spider. Polaris makes what's called a Slingshot. There's such a thing as a T-Rex, you know, very creative names. So there's all sorts of trikes that are out there on the market now as mm-hmm. compared to what they were 20 years ago.
Right, where they were just custom built.
All custom, which we still do custom builds.
Okay.
And the thing is, the demand has sort of started to equal the supply. And in some ways, the supply now outnumbers the demand. And my brother and I, we bought the company from our parents in 2011. And number one on our list of agendas was to diversify. We knew that trikes are being added to a fixed market. So there's really not that many new people coming to buy trikes in greater and greater numbers.
Right.
It's the same amount of people, but every time you convert a motorcycle to a trike, it's a trike forever. And so it's going to always be in the marketplace. And so we felt like we needed to change. And in 2011, probably 98 or 99% of our sales, of our top line sales, were trike sales. Either selling a trike turnkey or building a trike for a customer. Well, now that number is probably 15%.
Wow, so in four years.
We have diversified at a very, very fast pace, which is why when we came to Kyle, it was the greatest opportunity for us to really expand, which is why we've gotten into outdoor power. We sell mowers, we sell chainsaws, we sell trimmers, we sell UTVs and ATVs and all manner of motorcycles. And are very heavy into service and accessories and apparel. It just was the right time for us.
Good
and
for y'all for adapting, right? Because well, otherwise, we felt what like would you do?
We felt like that if we tried to stay just as an exclusive trike dealership, that we would not be able to survive. And trike sales have declined as other sales have increased. So we're very glad we made that decision.
And I'm glad you clarified, because when people, you know, power dealer is also one of those terms. Like, I guess people in the know understand what it means, but others are like, what does that mean? And power is a catch-all too for like anything with the motor. Is that right? Is power just that catch-all word for
anything that's got motors that's not an auto, probably?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like a motorsports or a power sports would be, you know, anything like, you know, mowers, yeah, motorcycles, quads, ATVs, UTVs, you know, jet skis, boats, those kind of places.
I knew y'all did mowers just because my pop had told me. He's in the market for one at the moment.
There you go.
And I told him you were coming, and he was like, oh yeah, they got motors. They got mowers. Pardon me, I gotta get over there. Yeah. I was like, oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah.
I go on your website and I just look at the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Is that y'all's main sales now? Is motorcycles?
Yes. Yeah. Two wheel motorcycles. And our probably our primary value add beyond service is the fact that we do our own lending. It really helps the buying process to be extremely easy. You can have good credit or bad credit and come to our store and get a loan that's going to be competitive. And so we very seldom have to turn people away because of credit issues. The way that works is we literally make the loan to the customer.
Wow.
So
that's kind of rare these days, isn't it, for a business to work
in the motorsports industry? It is. It's very, very common in the auto industry.
Okay. Have you found Kyle to be like, I mean, you have been talking about your growth and sales and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that population boom in Kyle assisting in that? Is that one of the reasons you came to Kyle, or was it because of like availability of land or all of the above?
Well, our original desire to come to Kyle was because of its strategic location between Austin and San Antonio. San Antonio has always been a large trike market for us. We have a lot of customers who live down there, and we felt like Kyle would, especially from where we were, Kyle would take, you know, 45 minutes off of the San Antonio commute to our dealership. So that was without really adding
on 35.
On 35 without necessarily adding to commute of people who just lived in, you know, in regular Austin. So that was the original thinking, plus the value of real estate is more affordable in Kyle than it would be in other areas. But as it, you know, as it so happens, Kyle is one of the fastest growing towns in the fastest growing county in the one of the best states in the best country. You know, yeah. So we feel like, you know, without being, you know, prideful at all, of course.
No, of course no pride.
We feel like that Kyle is an extremely profitable investment for us to put down roots. There's no doubt.
I know people, like I said, y'all seem to be well received. When I drive by there, it doesn't seem like there's, well, you know what, it's hard to tell for me what's a customer car and what might be like car stuff y'all are selling, but it seems like y'all are always busy. Have you noticed? I mean,
are always busy.
That's fantastic.
Yep. There are times and peak times throughout the week where we have a line of customers, and it's been overwhelming because I'm not used to that at my old store. Mm-hmm. When it was just me, obviously we didn't have a line of customers, but you know, we try to grow and adapt, and our mission statement is truly at the core of who we are, and that is we say we strive every day to exceed expectations through hard work, integrity, and a willingness to help others. That's what we try to put our calling card on, that kind of a mantra, because we believe that the customer is truly the most important thing, and not just as a slogan, but like in practical, how does this customer experience us? Not when it goes smooth and easy, but when it's difficult.
Absolutely.
That's really what we think makes or breaks a business. Whenever something goes wrong, how we respond to that. And we've seen in our industry, particularly, that customers oftentimes are seen as commodities that are only valuable to the dealership where the immediate sale is concerned.
Right.
And if something goes wrong, oftentimes the dealership will say that, you know what, this customer is no longer worth my time and effort, and I'm just going to scrap it and move on. And if the customer's upset, there's always another customer. We just feel like that's the short-term approach.
Well, and do you get the kind of like a first-time customer who may think that they're, you know, the auto industry has that kind of stigma on it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, gonna go talk to the car dealer, whoop-de-doo, mm-hmm. You know? Right. And is that how people approach y'all sometimes? Do you deal with that kind of customer that may be on their guard because they're, you know,
sure,
ready, they have to haggle with you, or they have to...
Oh, yeah. You know, not everybody that comes into our doors already knows who we are or has read up on us, right, or whatever. They're just stopping in, and they're always, you can tell, they're skeptical. We don't mind that at all. We don't. We see every customer as an opportunity to win a friend. Our goal is whenever a customer comes in that has that skeptical mindset, that doesn't really know a lot about us, is by the time it's over, we want them smiling and just feeling like we're friends and knowing us a little bit more by name and being more comfortable with us. It's not they need to walk out of here with some product.
Yeah.
Or they need to walk out of here with our best sales pitch. It's truly, we just want them to walk out the door feeling like they had a good time and no longer thinking of us as their as antagonistic towards them getting what they want.
Right on. So you're not ever going to pitch, what do I got to do to get you on this trike? Like, we're not going to hear that from you when I come in.
Well, maybe. Yeah. It's just not going to be what we lead with.
Totally.
We want to build rapport with the customer. Our sales philosophy is what is a four-step system that I call listen, educate, listen, guide. What that means is the first person that comes in, and you'll notice two of those are ear related, and two of them are mouth related. So the first listen is quite literally whenever somebody comes into your store, is you are asking questions that just get the customer to talk and tell you what they're interested in, because you can't start selling somebody on a product if you don't know what kind of needs they actually have.
Right. Not everybody, so, there's not a one size fits all.
No. And whenever somebody comes in and you ask good questions and they start to tell you about what brought them in, you get an opportunity then to educate. And educate to me is probably the most important step. It's where you literally give a lot of information to them. That's why they're there. You know, they could be doing this online, but they're at your store. And so give them the information that they came in for as much as you possibly can. A lot of times what happens though in the sales industry is that people go listen, educate, guide. So what that means is they start by educating, but before they're even finished with their sentence, they're starting to sell you on something. We really feel like it's important to step back after you've talked and see how the customer, what the customer thinks, how they feel, if they have more questions. Right. And as they start to process through all that, at some point you do get to a place where you know the customer really well. You know exactly why they're there, what they're looking for, because they want to be guided. They want you to tell them what you think.
That's right.
But you just have to build a platform to do that first, and then that's when we do what we call guide, which is we do make recommendations. You know, based on what you're saying, it sounds like this machine or this is the right thing for you, and it makes a big difference.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up educate, because I know, like, you probably agree. I'm just talking from my own anecdotal experience. Trites aren't still mainstream to people. So they can come in, even if they're not necessarily in the market to purchase, and one of your service reps can educate them on exactly what a trite is. Or mm-hmm. Do y'all do, for people interested in learning more or people interested in buying, y'all do test rides and all that with the customers, or do you let them test ride?
We do, absolutely. There are requirements on a motorsport machine
right.
before that can be done, so not just anyone. You right. have to have a motorcycle endorsement, you have to have proper gear, and you have to be able to demonstrate that you have the capability of handling whichever machine it is. Sometimes we'll do assisted test rides where the customer might ride on the back if they don't have a license or the proper gear. If they do have the license, sometimes we'll escort them, and then you know, from time to time, depending on the customer, we may let them take it for a ride.
Right. Yes. After some collateral, maybe their firstborn is left
firstborn,
at the shop.
Yep. Right. Leave a finger or something
finger,
like that.
Finger, perfect. Yep. See, y'all are very reasonable people, it seems like. And I keep talking about people coming in, learning more. Can you tell the listeners, like, the specific location, hours of operation, maybe a contact number for those that are interested in talking and learning more about Mitchell Motorsports?
Yeah, so we have two stores. One is in Gatesville, Texas, which is the town that we originated in. My brother, who is my partner, he runs that store. The one in Kyle is on exit 213. It's on the northbound side of the freeway, which is the right-hand side if you're going north. And it's going to be there with the big sign. It's 512-262-0011. And we are open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 6.
Perfect. Tuesday through Saturday. So you do get a couple days off? Or
We do. We did not originally when we first opened. We were open Monday through Saturday. And we nearly died as a company over that, because we did that for a year, and it was more than any employee could bear. And what we also realized was that we were never able to be fully staffed in any given day because you're having to spread the same amount of employees out over 6 days. And honestly, our business is such where customers often are dealing with a specific employee, and if that employee is gone, they just kind of have to wait around till the next day.
Right.
So customers generally, even if they don't realize it, would rather a dealership only be open 5 days and have full staff every day that they're open. So you know that the person, if he's not on vacation or she is not on vacation, they're going to be working there.
Seems like a lot of living and learning. Right?
Living and learning, that's right.
Yep. Being a business owner, living and learning. Well, before we wrap it up, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the R-Kyle project. I briefly mentioned it at the beginning, and we spent all of our time before recording talking about camera and audio equipment. So let's bring up R-Kyle. That's what you're titling this project. I don't want to paraphrase it because I'm going to butcher it. So how about you tell the listeners, what is R-Kyle?
Yeah, so R-Kyle is a project I've been working on to try to create professional videos for the purpose of displaying the best in our community to new and future residents of Kyle. Kyle is such a growing area that we have a lot of people living here that just got here. And we have a lot of people coming here that don't know a lot about our community. We actually have a lot of really great businesses and organizations and communities and events that people would do well to know about. And our Kyle as a project is designed to create 12 videos, that's one every month, where we go and display the best that Kyle has to offer. The first video that we just wrapped up on was Texas Pie Company, which is just, if you haven't been to Kyle, it is the place to go.
Totally.
It's in downtown Kyle, and the building is sort of an icon because of this giant slice of pie.
Love Spencer and Julie.
Yeah,
Spencer, salt of the earth.
Yep, Spencer Thomas and Julie Albertson are the owners, and I spent 3 days with them shooting video and interviewing them, and going. I took one lunch essentially, and went there and interviewed a lot of the patrons, the people who come there and eat. There were a lot of City of Kyle employees and various other people that were there. And,
well, it's convenient for any of them working, right? Right.
I mean, cause right down the street,
down the street from City Hall. I am quite often found at Dojo Kyle, which is right across the street. Mm-hmm. There, and they have a day class, which is what I'm going to kick you out of here in a few hours for, if you're still here. But we often grab lunch there too. It's so so convenient, and I never have been there for lunch and didn't see a crowd.
You know, it's always packed.
Always packed, and it's good for them too because it's great food, mm-hmm. good company. That would be one of those, like you're talking about with the R. Kyle project. It is now Pie Company is a staple where I think most people. If they're any familiar with the area at all, Pie Company might be one of the first ones they know about. But you're absolutely right. There are a lot of organizations. I say a lot. There are organizations and there are some businesses that are so mom and pop that they don't have that budget to market themselves at all. And so what you're doing with R. Kyle is coming in and making these showcase videos, for lack of a better term, right?
Sure.
To where it's about education, right? Like you're talking about with your business, like you are empowering the community to support local business through showcasing the local businesses that are, you know.
Yeah, and it's not even just businesses. It's truly the premise is, if you're coming to Kyle, what are the things you need to know about? And the best way to show that to people is with the video.
Right.
You know?
Well, video and keeps people's attention, right?
Yeah, and we're not talking long videos. We're talking 3 to 5 minute videos. The key is, for me, is it's got to be something that engages the community currently, and it has to be something that's really, that's going to generate a lot of mass appeal and have a lot of diversity. And it is good that you mentioned budget, because I want to make sure that people understand that it's not a business. So the
right, this isn't an opportunity for you to make some bucks and shoot commercials.
It's not a commercial. We don't solicit. We don't accept fees or sponsorships in exchange for the productions.
Please tell me you accepted a lemon bar at least.
I didn't even have a piece of pie, Texas pie, because of that. But I did have a sandwich.
Because of the ethics?
Yeah.
Or what?
No. It's good pie, though.
Oh, it's so good pie, yeah.
You know, we do truly try to feature those organizations and businesses that give the best overall experience of Kyle. Mm-hmm. And you know, 1 month may be a restaurant, the next may be a flag football league, which I am going to do. And I'm also, awesome. I also have plans on doing a school. I'm going to do, you know, a few other things as well.
Is there a vetting process you have, or like, is there, or I say vetting, have you, I know, because I know the business community, and this isn't a knock on any of you guys listening, so don't email me all mad, but I know a lot of businesses are probably soliciting you already, like, hey, please come make this for me.
Yeah.
And like you said, though, you're not in the business of making commercials, so have you had some vetting process? Have you had some awkward conversations already? Where you're like,
I have had people offer to pay me to come and shoot various videos for them, and they're all declined.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah.
So I'm not, well, for one, I don't consider myself to be quite good enough to make professional videos for
you're
hire.
Being a little humble. I saw you showed me a sneak peek of the finished video. I think you're being a little more humble than necessary, but I appreciate it because I won't be humble. I'm awesome, Travis, in everything I do. But no, but that's cool though. That you, I mean, that's your prerogative. Your prerogative is not, you're not ditching Mitchell Motorsports to go into videography.
No, that might not be a smart idea on my part. there's a lot of benefit for me to create videos of places in my community.
Absolutely.
That have a lot of mass appeal. So I would not try to pretend that there might not be an opportunity for cross-marketing. But when I say cross-marketing, I don't mean pitching Mitchell Motorsports. I just mean what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And that's what my dad would say.
I agree. So. And I think a lot of businesses get that because we do that with Kyle Life, where it's a mutual thing. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, some people... you know, they think of, oh, that sounds kind of slimy if you're trying to bring your business into. It's like, no, it's a mutual thing where we're both growing. Like, I have this equipment and this ability to help your business have, you know, whatever showcase, and in turn people are going to know that it was produced by Travis Mitchell of Mitchell Motorsports. Like, that's not a bad thing for everyone. It's a win-win, right?
Yeah.
So when is the first video? You said monthly. Is it going to be the first of every month?
That's the plan. I've already completed the Texas Pie Company video, so it's sitting there waiting for me to hit the button and publish. But I am trying to be patient and wait until October 1st to actually publish it. And it's on Facebook. The URL would be facebook.com/ourkyle or ourkyle.com/.org will be live at some point in time. Initially, though, it'll just be the Facebook page.
Right. And is that the thought behind that being that most people are on Facebook anyway?
Right. I mean, that's where all the people are.
They live there, don't they?
They do. Yep.
I need to choose it all the time. Probably because I'm on it all the time.
Well, I mean, honestly, those videos, you know, YouTube has a place. And because a lot of times the videos can sit and be searched a lot easier. But I did a video project about the Wimberley flood, and you know, the YouTube channel where I posted it got, I don't know, 500 or 600 views, but the Facebook channel, the Facebook video got over 100,000 views.
Yeah.
And so it's just massively different, you know, in terms of if people, because that's where socially people, if you can engage with them, they're going to share it.
No, totally.
And that's Facebook. That's not YouTube.
No, I agree now. And unfortunately, I mean, Facebook, this is getting off topic, and I'll wrap it up soon, I promise. Facebook's metrics are a little whack because they autoplay, and it also doesn't give into account unique views on some things. They're working it out. But I agree with you. Facebook, as much as maybe people don't like it, the sad reality is most people live on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Yep. If you're going to try to get exposure to your content, you got to be able to market on Facebook.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say about the Our Kyle project is, if you're listening to this and you think that you know of an organization or a business that would benefit from having a feature, you know, professional, quasi-professional video made about the organization, to reach out to me. I mean, I own Mitchell Motorsports, so I'm pretty easy to find. You know, it's a bricks and mortar building, right in Kyle. So I'm very happy to consider doing that. My initial commitment's to do 12 videos, so I've already got about 4 or 5 committed. So I do currently at least have some space. I'm just starting the project. So after 12 videos, we'll see what happens. But I want to make sure that I complete the project.
I'll solicit you. Here's an idea. Bring the drone in here in this cave of an office I have. And we'll just shoot drone video in here. It'll be a good video. Yeah. I promise. We'll produce it well. Travis, I can't thank you enough for your time. All the small talk. I appreciate it in the interview. I really appreciate meeting you and you taking the time to come on the show.
Absolutely.
And that will do it for this episode of the Kyle Life Podcast. If you'd like more information on Mitchell Motorsports, check out their website at www.mitchellmotorsportstx.com or call them at 512-262-0011. And if you'd like to learn more information about the R. Kyle Project, find them on facebook.com/R. Kyle. For KyleLife.com and the Pearl Media Network, I'm Joshua Steubing. Thank you for listening.